What did you think? Did we sing a lot of Easter songs this morning? He is risen. Still Easter? Do you think maybe the pastor is just stuck in a rut? Easter is not just a day, boys and girls. Easter is who we are. We are an Easter people. Bishop Swenson, when she was our bishop, I don't know if any of you knew Bishop Swenson. She stood about that tall. You remember Bishop Swenson? Blonde hair. And she was just a fireball. She was just amazing. She had all the kids dancing here this morning. She had that much energy. She was just something else. But we are an Easter people, she would say. We got to stay there. We are risen and we are alive and it is joyous. And we need to be those people. He has come. He has changed the world and it remains changed. We are changed. Think that through a minute. We are changed. And not only are we changed, but we need to be changed continually, don't we? We begin on the right path, and then things kind of go cattywampus, and then suddenly, it's like my GPS. First time I tried to come to this church, it sent me to some guy's house. Sitting in his front yard, and he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and we both knew things were kaflooty. But we get back on the right track. Jesus has changed us and has brought us back. We once were lost, but now we are found. Amen? Amen? And we are forgiven. We are forgiven. Think about that. Think about society as it's changed at the day that when Jesus was alive, the society that was eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, stripe for a stripe, wound for wound. It was a brutal life. It was a life without much grace and without a lot of hope. And that world is no longer, it has changed. We are a different people. Sometimes we don't feel like that. We feel like, well, all of the miracles Jesus did, and they're all in the past, and now it's just a world has gone crazy. Am I the only one that thinks that? Don't be there. I have to remind myself, and I have to turn off the news sometimes. I have to just step away, and I have to pause and realize that there are ministries and missions and nurseries and orphanages around the world because of Christ. There are care for peoples who need health, who need help, who need guidance, who need education and teaching. First mission trip I was on, we traveled to Haiti. You've heard of Haiti. Right now, they're devolving back into gang violence. Gangs are running the nation. They're struggling. They were the first nation in the Western Hemisphere to gain their independence from being a subordinated nation. And they have struggled, and they continue to struggle. And that gang business with drugs involved is a hard one to fight. But I traveled to Haiti. And one of the things we did, we were there at a school, and the gal that led us, she was learning typing. A skill besides being literate, but a skill that would make her marketable. She could go into the world and work as a secretary or as a typist or maybe an author. There is much that goes on in the name of Christ. And in all of it, there is compassion. It's easy to be a doubter. It's easier. Esau Macaulay wrote, and I noted him previously, but he wrote an essay in the New York Times. And he commented how he kind of grew up being a doubter. He was in a world that was not in a good place. He was in a very impoverished environment. And there was little hope. And so it was easy to know that everything was bad. And to accept that, then it was to have some hope. Because as soon as you had a little bit of hope, he'd say, then it would get dashed. And that hurts twice as bad. It's easier to be a doubter. Yes, we're still having wars. Yes, there are still people that are hungry in the world. Not as many as there have been, but there are still hungry. Greed continues, and greed is finding new ways to be greedy. Bitcoins, I still haven't figured out bitcoins, but they have figured out us, haven't they? Disease continues. Think about that a moment. How many of you remember we had this thing with COVID? Do you remember that? Have you been watching the numbers in the paper? They're steadily declining as we're coming into summer. It's almost no longer a reportable issue, and that's all right with me. But remember what we had to do when we had to shut down. One would think that has never happened in the world, but do you ever remember hearing about the Black Plague? Entire villages closed themselves off from each other so that the plague would not spread to their villages. Families separated, families isolated, and 30 to 50% of the population died. We're better. Health, care, compassion, awareness. So don't get too caught up when we hear about plagues and rumors of plagues and wars and rumors of wars. I write myself a note at the very beginning of this sermon that said, don't get too far off on a tangent about guns and about gun violence. Because Monday morning we had just heard another report of more violence. And this weekend we have more reports of gun violence. And this sermon is not about that. But it's some place where we need to concentrate some energy. Not taking sides, not blaming each other, but saying, first off, we have a problem. And then saying, how are we going to fix it together? Maybe if we could de-escalate the tension between all the parties involved, we could probably solve some things pretty darn fast. I pray that that be so. Don't stay there. Don't stay there on that one issue that can be so polarizing. There are other issues in our political landscape that are polarizing. We could latch into those and take places on them. Where would Christ direct us to be? All of those places that bring division, it makes my heart ache. In a world of Christian compassion, it makes my heart ache to see people ranting and raving with tremendous energy over issues about which they disagree. Let's not be there. And let's not be the doubters that can be there. It is so easy to be a doubter. It is so easy to not believe. Poor Thomas, he's the one that gets caught in it, isn't it? He's been with the disciples. He's one of the brothers. He's one of the group. He's an insider. He knows these guys. And they tell him, Jesus was here in the flesh, the real McCoy. And Thomas, he's honest. Good Lord, I love Thomas because he was honest. And he says, I can't believe it. I just don't believe. I can't pretend to believe. That would be worse than not believing. And indeed, a week later, Jesus comes and says, blessed are you, but blessed are those who believe and have not seen. Think about that. Think about all of us. We are those Thomases, and that's okay. God will not be mocked in human history, and God will not be away from us at any point in time. God always with us. We are a transformed people. Happy Easter. I'm still working on Easter candy. Melissa's not helping me out at all. So any of you who gave gifts to Melissa of candy and whatever, I don't know why, but suddenly she is just not on the candy jag. So guess who? It's a dire straits. I mean, it's not a good thing at all. It'll last me through the next decade. But Easter came, and Easter is, and we are transformed. Peace be with you, Jesus said. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Keep that in mind. This is not just, you're blessed, everything's wonderful. Sit back and enjoy it, soak it all in because it's all about you. No, I came. The Father sent me. I'm here for you, and now I send you. What does that mean? It means something different to every one of us. It's an amazing thing. But he goes on with an interesting passage here that caught my eye. If you retain the sins of any, no, let me start over. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Ellen asked me, she says, saw the sermon title, she said, what does retained mean? I said, you're going to have to listen. And then I tried to distract her talking about retaining walls, but that's another story. This passage is intriguing and it's unsettling for me. I mean, giving the apostles, the disciples, the opportunity to forgive the trespasses of someone else, that's pretty massive. That's an incredible thing, but as Christians, that is who we are called to be and about. But it has a double edge to it, this retaining thing. You know, if someone sins and we retain those sins, they are not forgiven. Well, I can't help wondering who it is that retains the sins. There were some guys when I was in high school that were the cool jock types, and I was not. And they'd pick on me a little bit. They picked on everybody, but it felt like just me. So years later, I saw one of them, and he got in trouble, and boy, was I happy. And he wasn't a bad guy. And it's taken me 40 years to kind of get to the point of saying, you know, he just made a mistake, just like all of us, even I have made some mistakes, and he wasn't a bad guy. But in retaining his sin, I was carrying it around, this blackened chunk of coal in my heart, angry at him. And I had to stop and think about that. And I had to stop and think, if I retain his sin, it is retained in me. And if I forgive his sin, it is forgiven. Jesus has forgiven us. Jesus has forgiven. Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who have trespassed against me. Didn't we say that somewhere in the liturgy this morning? Every Sunday. And sometimes we say it in rote and don't really think about it. But that forgiveness is about being Christian and is about Easter morning. Think about that. Think about who we are. Think about doubters and the dark places that they are. And most of us can understand why they are there. And think of the hope that we have and that we have to share through Jesus Christ. Easter people, he is risen, risen indeed. Amen.